I'm John Betts with Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. And we're very pleased to welcome the author and our colleague, Ann Stevenson Yang. Her new book, Wild Ride, A Short History of the Opening and Closing of the Chinese Economy, takes you from the 20th century and the miracle underway, the great, great success, all the way to where we are right now, which is foreshadowing of crisis. And a very good day to you. I read from the Reuters release of our Secretary of the Treasury. U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen said that concerns are growing over the global economic fallout from China's excess manufacturing capacity. I'll stop there. What does that mean, Anne? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, you know, Yellen is a smart cookie, really. And what she's saying is, we got to watch out for China dumping products on the U.S. market. The last time they were in some distress and flooded the market with cash, they grew their exports of steel by like 600% to the U.S., and that created a big problem for the industry. So she's warning that that can't happen again with electric cars and the other products they're pushing.
Gordon, you have a question for Ann.
Yeah, Janet Yellen said that our relationship with China is now more stable than it was a year ago. What I think the translation of those words are that basically we're just talking. Is it possible for the Biden administration to talk China into dealing with the excess capacity problem? Or are we going to have to take sterner measures to force China into a better direction?
I don't know what we can do about China. I mean, I think it's a big frustration to find that China has become, 12 to 13, 14% of the international trading system. And yet China really doesn't abide by any of its rules. And that's been very difficult for the U.S. to deal with. So, you know, the Biden administration wants to talk, wants to engage, but I really don't know what they're able to do.
An anecdote from Germany. I don't know whether it's accurate or not, but it's a colorful story. The observation is that solar panels have become so cheap and so overwhelmed the market in Germany that no longer is it necessary to use them on your roof to generate electricity. They use them for fencing in the garden. That's how cheap they became. And that is a direct product of China making this decision to go all solar panel all the time. I believe, Gordon, there was some understanding that they used Uyghur labor in some fashion for their manufacturing of solar panels. So, Anne, is that underway now with the BYD dumping? I've seen huge, huge container ships filled with those BYD EVs headed to Europe. Is that underway?
I really haven't looked at the composition of BYD exports recently, and that's because, honestly, I have fairly low regard for BYD. If you look at the kinds of electrics, you know, BYD dominates the market in China for electric vehicles, but those are really very substandard products. BYD has electric vehicles that compete with Tesla, but those are much more highly priced. So this idea that BYD is just going to overwhelm the international market, that the places that they export their sort of low grade vehicles to are places like Russia, so, and Africa and Southeast Asia. So, you know, are they really going to compete in Europe and the U.S.? I doubt it.
Gordon, you have a question.
And our previous question and answer, you mentioned that there was probably not very much the Biden administration could do about Chinese overcapacity. It is our market, after all, and we are a sovereign country, at least the last I checked. Couldn't we start restricting access to our market for products made with subsidies? I mean, really, we set the rules if we want to, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, we've done that. We have a very high tariff on electric vehicles coming from China. We have a tariff on we have a ban on solar products made with forced labor from Xinjiang. Although that's not
enforced.
Yeah, it's enforced in the breach. It's very difficult to do, as it's easy to transship those products. And it's harder to transship or to hide the origin of an electric car than it is a commodity like a solar panel. You know, what do you do about these things? I think the real, you know, we saw a huge hollowing out of United States manufacturing towns in the early 2000s and late 1990s. This is, we saw the same hollowing out occur in a lot of Europe, particularly in Germany. It's something that we really need to figure out. My personal opinion is that we need to control our companies that invest in China.
Another anecdote, Butler, Pennsylvania, a factory with more than 1,000 workers, the economy of the whole area. They make something that is part of the electricity grid, a transformer with a particular kind of steel. The order came from the Department of Energy that was no longer to be tolerated, and therefore they were closing the plants down. It was regulated out of existence. The alternative product was manufactured in Vietnam and China, and that was where the purchasing is going to go. Well, both senators in Pennsylvania, Sherrod Brown in Ohio, and the governor of Pennsylvania got on the phone, wrote letters, and the White House and the Department of Energy, Ms. Granholm, have reversed their decision. Now, I tell that anecdote because it's not clear that China's the guilty one. China's the go-to alternative for regulation that made no sense. I'm glad to say that right now, Butler, Pennsylvania will stay in place and manufacture its products. And does that go on across the country for these last 30 or 40 years? Is the Chinese miracle the answer to go cheaper and regulate it?
Well, this is the problem, John. I mean, we've seen this, you know, massive arbitrage of low labor rates and low land rates and forced labor and low environmental standards by U.S. international companies that are operating in China. And we really have to figure out a way to fix that.
And so what we have here is too many individual stories. There's no one patch. Is that correct, Anne?
I don't know what it is that we need to do. I do think that we need to strengthen our regulatory system. I think that putting a patch on it by putting tariffs on Chinese products really isn't the way that it's going to fix the problem.
We have about a minute, Gordon.
So, Anne, do you think the Biden administration before the November 5 election will do anything dramatic about Chinese overcapacity? Or will they try not to do anything so as to not disrupt relations with China?
I don't think they're all that concerned about disrupting relations with China. I honestly don't know what they need to do. I do think that they need to get better control of companies investing in China. They have done a fair amount with restrictions on U.S. Semiconductor chips to China. They need to do more like that.
Anne Stephenson Yang is the author of a new book that I highly recommend to understand how we got to this contest where we need a solution or the Chinese economy is going to do again what it's done before, which is to overwhelm the American workplace with cheap products. Wild Ride is the book, a short history of the opening and closing of the Chinese economy. Anne Stephenson Yang is the author. Gordon Chang is my colleague. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.